Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Radio Show on at 3:30 this afternoon. And I welcome you in every way to the love of Christ and his great undying mercy and concern for all men and human that have ever lived and that will ever die. I'd like to tell you what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to get to it in a minute later in the show. I'm going to try to grasp what is meant by, in our modern world, by the elite. In general, the term elite is confined to wealth, education, and power. They are said to be the elite by certain media and other circles in our system. And the issue is, are those truly the elite? I have a question mark in that respect. But I want to talk about the parameters of this show, where it's coming from. And I'd like you to know that this show is, I have a great concern for literature and great books. They include St. Augustine's Confessions. They include John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, or his autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, T.S. Eliot's Idea of a Christian Society, G.K. Chesterton, and Milton's Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, two great epic poems written while this great, great man and writer was blind and could not see. He wrote the only and great epic poem in English, Paradise Lost. I'll get into this in a minute, but that's one element of this show. The second element of it, it's a Christian show. That is to say, I believe in the Christian faith and in promulgating it and articulating it as much as possible. I'm not happy with a faithless secular society. I don't agree with it. And I believe in the Christian faith, and I adhere to not only to the Christian faith, but I want all people to, and his love, and I welcome all faiths, all ideas, all opinions, etc., whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whether Shinto, whether gay, whether atheist or agnostic, because I welcome them all because I know that Jesus died for them and wants them to be with him in the joy of heaven. Okay? Next, I'd like you to know that this has a, I'm a political conservative, I'm opposed to abortion and gay marriage, but that isn't to say that I have a prejudice or hatred against these people. A woman who wants an abortion is welcome to the gates of heaven in every way. And as Jesus, as was St. Paul said in Timothy, God wills that all men and women be saved, whoever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever their behavior. And that includes our gay brothers and sisters, who I very much welcome to this show, and I welcome them all in his love and consideration and his love for all generations of men and women that have ever lived and will ever die. Now I want to talk about my views in this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We're not politically correct. We don't believe in media hype, media falsehoods, the big lie. We're interested in truth and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. That's what we're interested in this book, in this particular show. And we're interested in critical thinking that will lead to truth and facts. That's what we're interested in, getting to the root of things, finding out the truth, the ultimate truth of all men in Christ. I wish to tell you that I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the creeds of the Church, and Nicene, Athanasian, and Nicene Creed. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I also adhere to the great Christian books and want to read them. I want to read John Bunyan. I want to read G.K. Chesterton. I want to read T.S. Eliot. I want to read St. Augustine. I want to read the Epistles of Paul, the greatest religious writer that has ever lived. I want to read these people and know them and understand them. I want as Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, I want books that will stretch my mind. I'm not interested in images. I'm not interested in drugs. I'm interested in books that will raise me and stretch my mind. I ask you parents, you bring your kids to the library where their mind will be developed and raised with the right books I've just mentioned. You want your children's mind and thoughts raised, not stretched down, not pulled down to ignorance and darkness. You don't want that, and if it's happening, I advise you strongly to get your children out of that school and bring them somewhere else where they're going to learn something. As I said, I recommend Christian books, which I just mentioned to you, and I also am a believer in Christian certain political positions, such as opposing abortion, which is killing for me, although I think a woman has a right to have an abortion and have a baby, but she should be advised about the evil and sin connected with it. I ask you to understand that gay marriage, I do oppose it because I think it's wrong, but on the other hand, I'm very happy when a gay person comes to me and seeks my advice as a Christian as to what is truth and what is falsehood. I run two radio shows. I used to run a podcast show. I don't do it anymore, but I may resume it. And I also run this Blog Talk radio show, which is really quite helpful, I think. It is a show which many people from many countries visit, including Muslim countries. I'm very happy to have my Muslim brothers and sisters on my show and hearing the gospel and the love of Christ and his message. And I'm very happy to have them, and I welcome them in every way. And people, I have to say, in my podcast show, over 4,300 people from 80 countries have visited this show, and many people from many countries visit my Blog Talk radio show, including Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Japan, United Kingdom, and France, and other places across the globe. Now, I want to tell you that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, and a book on the Psalms. My interpretation of all 41 parables and all 150 Psalms. I treasure the parables. I love them. They're great thought. They're the great thoughts of Christ. They're dynamic. They're interesting. They're informative. Read the parables and don't miss out. When I ask you to read these books, I'm asking you to have your mind developed and stretched and reach an understanding of what's true and what's false. That's also true of reading the Psalms. The Psalms are great treasures of Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in Hebrew lyric poetry in seminary, Princeton Seminary. I read the Psalms, and I continue to read them every day of the week because of their greatness, their literary greatness, and their intellectual greatness. Both the Psalms and the parables are intellectually demanding and discerning, and most important, the Psalms are treasures of lyric poetry, which you or your family should not miss by any stretch of the imagination. I'm writing other books. I'm writing books on my four blogs, philosophical, and theological and current events, four books of blogs. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter of that. I'm writing a book on the book of Job, a great, 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 great book of an Edomite who was tried by God and passed the trials. Job is a great piece of work. It's well worth discerning and reading from beginning to end. Don't miss it. Don't give up for the catcher in the rye, as opposed to Job and the miracles in the Bible. Pick and choose what is of value and what is discerning and what is true, not what is false and political. I'm not interested in political rhetoric. I'm not interested in political propaganda. I'm interested in dynamic, discerning truth. Next, I'd like to talk to you about other books I'm writing. I've written a chapter in New York Family Law and Practice on paternity. I've written a chapter on res gestae and Bender's Consolidated Evidence on evidence. I've written a chapter on New York jurisprudence in criminal law demands and notices. It's an encyclopedia article, and I have I'm writing other books in the works. Let me say this: there is no replacement for print. As Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book, depending on images, television, movies, your mind is going to be ruined and destroyed. That's my personal opinion. There is no replacement for great works of art in print. There is no replacement. There is no other route to knowledge but books and print. And I don't believe that that seeing an image on television or in a movie or on a computer is going to be as helpful to you in the least. There are great books that I recommend you to read: Tolstoy, Anna Karenina, Tolstoy, War and Peace, Tolstoy, Resurrection, E.M. Foster, Howard's End, E.M. Foster's A Passage to India, Joseph Conrad, Lord Jim, and George Eliot, Middlemarch. These are all great books, and great books are demanding on you and raise your mind and intellect significantly. That is the value of a great book. And those books I mentioned, whether Paradise Law, Paradise Lost — Paradise Lost is a great poem because Milton, while blind, was able to discern the issue of the fall of man into sin and the evil and wicked nature of the world. He saw it, he understood it, and he wrote about it. He wrote a great epic poem about it. You shouldn't miss it, okay? It's a great piece of work. Next, I'd like you to understand that I have written other works, so three law review articles, on Act 2 on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, on sexual orientation discrimination, and the American educational system. I critiqued both of them. I do not oppose gay marriage or gay people as human beings. I love them, and I know Jesus died for them. I have no issue with them. I may have an immoral issue on a theoretical basis, but that's all. I think they should have every right to be and what they want and wish to do in our society. And I do not want hatred or discrimination directed to them, or anybody, to tell you the truth. And I did write on the educational system in the United States. Frankly, it's very bad. Kids are being made fools of. They're not reading the right books. They're doing better in certain more elite schools, whether Catholic schools or private schools. They're doing better, a lot better than in the public schools. The American educational system is a huge disaster and joke, which is ruining the minds of many people. Or if they have any mind, they lose it on a four-year basis in public high school in New York. Next, I have written a book on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure. This book has been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. And that's also true of the books I mentioned. The Academicus articles have been bought by the State Department. The one on the American educational system, a critique, and the other on what I just mentioned. That's as much as I'm going to go into this. And today I'm going to talk about something very important to me, and that is the issue of what constitutes the elite. So this is a word that's thrown around a lot in our society, and I have issue with it. I have issue with the secular definition of elite. I have issue of having money be the benchmark. Give me a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking for this chapter in my book on the elite. 1 minute, okay? find the what I talk about, the so-called elite, on pages chapter 57 of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. It is found on pages 154 and 155. It's really it's kind of a word that's thrown around a lot in our society. It's a hot topic. It usually refers to people who have graduated from top educational institutions, Ivy League colleges, and also has reference to people who have power by reason of their wealth and background in government and business. They are seen as leaders and often seen as greats by reason of their wealth and status. So the term elite is thrown around a lot, it's bandied a lot, and in the secular society, it refers to those persons who have graduated from the top educational institutions, usually Ivy League colleges, and has further reference to those persons who attain power positions, usually by reason of their wealth and background in government and business. They're seen as leaders and as the greats by reason of their wealth and status. So the term elite in the secular world refers to top Ivy League graduates, people who have power, people who have wealth, and people who are attained leadership by reason of their wealth and status. These people are referred to as elite. They are referred to as elite by reason of their wealth, their privilege, and their supposed upper-class status in this country. I'm going to try to correct who are the true elites. Let me say this, and I say this with not happy saying it, but I believe it's true. Wealth in itself has no significance other than how the person, making the person who has it, has inherited it, or acquired it, able to have an easier and more comfortable life. So wealth has really no significance other than enabling the person to have a better life physically. The person who has a degree of wealth is able to acquire more, get more, and gain power and status in our society by reason of their wealth. So it's a little bit puzzling to me that a person having wealth should be regarded as elite. I don't think they are. I would ask those same wealthy persons who Jonas Salk, if Jonas Salk, who discovered the polio vaccine, is not elite. I submit that his status as an elite is far beyond the grasp of a person who merely has wealth and nothing more. If wealth is the only criteria, and I don't think it is, I think it's a false criteria of definition of elite. I think Jonas Salk, who discovered the polio vaccine, is elite, and a person who has wealth doesn't even touch him in the world system and is in greatness. But if wealth is the only criteria, where does that place Shakespeare, Tolstoy, and the authors of the King James Version of the Bible? If wealth is the sole benchmark, and it is not the work of Shakespeare, Tolstoy, and the King James Version of the Bible, and Jonas Salk, if wealth is the sole benchmark, I ask these elite people, these wealthy people, who the elite really are. Let me define for a Christian who the elite, true elite, might be. And I don't think for a Christian wealth has any particular significance. For the Christian, whatever talents we may have, including wealth, should we have it, are gifts of God to be used in the service of others. So I don't think for a Christian wealth is any particular point. For Christians, whatever talents we have, including wealth, are gifts of God to be used in the service of others. I do not find wealth and power of particular significance. But to term a person elite because of these accidents, I think it's not only puzzling, but faintly ridiculous. Wealth has no significance for the Christian, other than to say that whatever talents we have, including wealth, should be used as a service of others, as gifts in the service of others. I don't think wealth and power have any point. And to term a person elite because of these qualities of wealth and power is really, ladies and gentlemen, not only puzzling and blows my mind, but faintly ridiculous. In fact, persons who regard someone who has solely wealth and power as elite, and that many people in our society do, they're impoverished in their thinking. For the Christian and for any right-thinking person, people who make the world a better place during their lives and contribute to society as much time and ability permit them are the true elite. The people who contribute, who not on the basis of wealth and power, if you believe, and anybody believes, that a person is elite because of the wealth and power, they are impoverished in their thinking. They are mindless. For the Christian, for any right-thinking person, people who make the world a better place during their lives and contribute to society as much as their time and ability permit are the true elite. These are the elites, those who improve the world. Who are they? A great scientist such as Jonas Salk, great writers such as Tolstoy and Shakespeare, and a great religious thinker such as St. Paul. These are the true elite. I have to say that no history book or record can be found that regards wealth as significant in itself, other than through the ages, wealthy people have the power because of their wealth. But no history or record can be found that regards wealth as significant in itself. Unfortunately, those same wealthy people who have the power may lack character and intellect that the person lacking wealth may have and can use to bring something good to the world. So, unfortunately, those same wealthy people who have the power and money through the ages, unfortunately, they may lack the character and intellect that the person lacking wealth may have and can use to bring something good to the world. For every wealthy person with power, there's a scientist, a writer, and a thinker who move the world, not devoting their lives to themselves, but to some other concept, idea, goal, which will bring about some good to the world. So I hope you've understood what I'm driving here. I don't think wealth in itself is much of a point. I think the people who are the true elite are the scientists, the writers, and the thinkers who move the world to some other concept or idea that will bring about something good for all. I can conclude this essay by saying that the poet who wrote the 23rd Psalm and St. Paul who wrote chapter 13 of his epistle to the Corinthians church have done and continue to do more for the world which what no wealthy person has ever done or can ever attain. St. Paul, perhaps the greatest religious thinker ever known, was kept in chains in Rome and beheaded by the Roman authorities. Perhaps St. Paul's wealthy counterparts continue to flourish after his death. But again, I ask you the question, who is the true elite and who is not? Who is St. Paul? What does he mean to the world? What does the author of the 23rd Psalm mean to the world? They are the elite, not the wealthy people, not the people with power. And that power and wealth are temporary. It is significant the 12 apostles, penniless and having nothing, within 400 years brought about the conversion of the entire Roman Empire. So these were, I say to you, these are the elite. One can only say and ask if the elite are defined by their wealth, how does one define the 12 apostles who brought about a world revolution without friends, funds, and without social status, the modern world still worships and values. I have to end this essay by saying the wealthy and powerful bear no comparison to the true elite of the world I mentioned. To be a leader is to be humble. To be a leader is to serve others and get things from others. I can think of no more shallow goal than thinking that obtaining wealth makes oneself elite. The elite fields are reckoned with the Dantes, the Miltons, the Chekhovs, with Jesus, Moses, and the authors of the two Gospels. It is unfortunate that the true elite in our system cannot be compared with those of wealth and who have transformed the world. I'm going to go into this again tomorrow night. I hope you've enjoyed this talk and what I think is the true meaning of being elite. And I hope you have seen the point and that the secular definition of the seat of elite is pathetically shallow and stupid. Good night. Bye.